Email arrives. It's from the Italian Cybersecurity Agency. You open it, and there is a message where you've been informed that you are officially on the NIS2 list. Now what? Welcome back to Diritto al Digitale. I'm Giulio Coraggio, a technology and data lawyer at the global law firm DLA Piper. This is the podcast where we explore the intersection between law and innovation. Today, we're talking about one of the most impactful regulatory rollouts in the cybersecurity space, NIS2. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my colleague, Giulia Zapatera, a fantastic lawyer with deep expertise in cybersecurity compliance. Welcome, Giulia. Let's start with immediate deadlines. Giulia, what do companies actually have to do right now?
Giulio, there is now a critical timeline for companies impacted by NIS2 in Italy. It highlights the following. After receiving the official notification of inclusion in the NIS2 register, entities have 9 months to comply with incident notification obligation and 18 months to fully implement all cybersecurity measures as detailed by ACN. The timeline is tight and planning is essential. Exactly, the notification set the clock ticking, and what we're seeing across industries is a mix of urgency and uncertainty. Organizations need to move fast. By the end of May, they need to complete the missing information on the ACN portal, such as the public IP addressing space and the domain names in use or available to the entities, where applicable, the list of EU member state in which they provide services falling within the scope of the decree, the person in charge of ensuring NIS2 compliance for essential entities, which would be the trickiest role to cover since there are also potential liabilities and sanctions, a substitute for the point of contact. But there are more important deadlines since businesses need to start to map their ICT system, identify internal stakeholders, start policy drafting and training, and get their supply chain under control.
And let's not forget, ACN, the Italian Cybersecurity Agency, has already published the list of regulated entities. And on its portal, even though that is not publicly known, and provided a list to the relevant entities. That puts reputational pressure on companies to act quickly, because if you are in the list, you are aware that you might be even sanctioned. It's not just about compliance, it's also about trust. Let's break this down now. What does the ACN actually expect from companies that fall under the NIS2 scope, Giulia?
The ACN structured the entire compliance framework around 5 key functions: govern, identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. But the level of granularity is what really stands out. There are measurable, documented, and reviewable requirements. Starting with governance, it's necessary to define and communicate cybersecurity roles, update them at least every 2 years or after major incidents, maintain a detailed list of cyber responsible personnel, including a main and backup contact point, and create and approve a comprehensive cybersecurity policy that covers more than 15 specific areas, from access control to data encryption, third-party management, and physical security. In the supply chain, it's necessary to keep an updated supply inventory, assess their risk, integrate security clauses into contracts, and establish processes to manage third-party risk, especially for services critical to ICT security.
So basically, we need to create a cybersecurity compliance organizational model that is not only internal to the company, but it expands also to the technology suppliers so that you can prove to regulators that you have full control of the cybersecurity compliance or cybersecurity risk of the company.
Correct.
Then we have other steps.
And then this goes also on the identify side. It's necessary to maintain inventories of hardware, software, cloud services, and any network flows. It's necessary to conduct a cyber risk assessment at least every 2 years or post-incident, and to understand the threat landscape and the exposure. Then there is the protect side. It's necessary to apply MFA, role-based access control, and robust credential policies to encrypt data at rest and in transit, and to justify any kind of exception, and to build a formal training program for staff and system admins. Under the detect side, it's necessary to monitor network activity and endpoints, maintain centralized logs for privilege and remote access, monitor external threat advisory from CERT Italia. Finally, for response and recovery, it's necessary to develop three critical plans: incident response, disaster recovery, and crisis management, to establish an incident notification protocol, and to identify what constitutes a significant incident, for instance, breaches of confidentiality, integrity, service degradation, or unauthorized access.
So basically, a major difference between NIS2 and, for instance, the GDPR is that the GDPR is principle-based. The NIS2 is also principle-based, but with these instructions, this resolution from ACN, basically we have very specific instructions on what needs to be done in order to be compliant. So just to make an example, the MFA may be considered as an adequate security measure under the GDPR, but for companies that are also within the scope of NIS2, that specifically becomes a regulatory requirement. So while under the GDPR you have other tools to prove that you have adequate security measures in place, for NIS2 you need to tick a box and make sure that you have that measure in put on the ground. So ACN is not just saying be secure, they're saying prove it, document it, track it, and repeat it regularly. So how do we help clients to deal with all this activity? You mentioned that, there is a timeline. It's 9 months, it's 12 months in other cases for other obligations. So how do we support businesses in this process to become compliant, Julia?
It's a good question. We created a modular and scalable methodology. First point is mapping relevant ICT systems and services, carry out a gap analysis across governance, policies, supply management, and incident response. Design and implementation of a cyber governance framework, drafting of NIS2 compliant policies and procedure, but also the creation of a comprehensive NIS2 Bible that consolidates scope, strategy, checklist, and documentation references so that our clients can show NIS2 compliance to regulators and to ACN. Board-level training on obligation and incident handling is also an essential point. And finally, we provide legal support on ACN interactions, internal compliance alignment, and liability minimization for AI and all emerging technologies.
So just to sum up, Julia, the big questions for our audience are, have you received the notification from ACN informing you that you were on the list or you were not on the list, and informing you whether you are an essential or an important entity under NIS2, because that has a substantial impact. Second question, have you mapped your systems and your internal organization on how to ensure compliance? The question is, do you know what needs to be in place by May 31st for the most imminent deadline, and by mid-January 2026 when the first provisions will come into place with a more If you receive the notification now in mid-April. If you are unsure, obviously, you can contact us at DLA Piper to receive clarifications. You can send an email to myself and Giulia for insights, resources, or even for a 15-minute consultation or discussion about what issues you might face in order to make sure that your company gets compliant with these two. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Diritto al Digitale. Hit the bell so you will never miss a future episode. If you found this discussion useful, we'd love for you to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'm Giulio Coraggio. I'm together with Giulia Zapatera today. This is Diritto al Digitale. Arrivederci.